You don't worship Mother Earth. She's not your mother. Let's talk about it on Key Life.
Hello, this is Mike Kellogg. Key Life, getting you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness to Christ. Our Bible teacher is Steve Brown. And here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope your pastor's sermon was as great as mine. Hope your time of worship was celebratory. And I hope you got some rest, too. If you guys have your Bible, open it to the book of Joel as we continue with our Old Testament survey. We spent 2 or 3 weeks on this book. It's a little book. I mean, it's a really little book, but it only has 3 chapters. But it's filled with important stuff. Now, we've looked at some exegetical notes. I've told you what I know about Joel, which is precious little. Nobody knows. He was probably a priest, but we're not even sure of that. He maybe was a temple prophet, but we're not sure of that. And we're not sure of the date of the book of Joel. But it's in the canon of Scripture, and it's very important that we study it. I am now your tour director going through the book of Joel, pointing out some of my favorite passages. And enjoy this while you can, because our next book is Amos, and he's not a fun kind of guy. I mean, Amos is not the person you want to go to a movie with or invite to your party, because this is not a pleasant person. But he was God's person, and he's got some good stuff to say. But we're in the book of Joel now. And we're up to the 2nd chapter. We're looking at verses 19 through 27. Before we do that, let's pray. Father, as we begin a new week of broadcast on Key Life, we ask that you would oversee everything that is said, but not only that, everything that's heard. Father, sometimes because of our sin, the teacher and those who are taught, we mix it up and get it wrong. So, Father, oversee the process. Take what I have studied from God's Word and what I've been called to teach and apply it to our minds and to our hearts and then to our feet that we might go out and live it. Father, we praise you because you're a good God and you're good all the time, even when we're not sure and it doesn't feel like it. Father, there's some people right now who are listening to this broadcast who don't feel that you're that good. They're going through divorce or physical problem or financial difficulties, or their secrets that are just eating them alive. Father, come alongside. Remind us of who you are and whose we are. Father, as we study your word on Key Life, we pray for the one who teaches. Forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you look at the 2nd chapter of Joel, and I'm not going to take the time to read it. It's a fairly long passage, verses 19 through 27. I read most of that on Thursday when we last studied the book of Joel. You are aware, if you read those verses, that God is speaking about the land. Now, when God judged the people of God, he not only judged the people of God, he judged the land on which they lived. And it's obvious from those verses and from many others in the Bible that while God may be speaking about a partial fulfillment of some important things in regard to nature, to the earth, to the land, he's also talking about something that hasn't happened yet, at least not happened fully. So in our study of biblical environmentalism, let me give you some facts that I think are really important, especially in the way that Joel speaks so often of the land and the healing that takes place in the land. So the first fact is this: nature is good, Mother Earth is good, but Mother Earth is not God, and Mother Earth is not your mother. Listen, if you have your Bible, flip over to Psalm 65. Let me read you some of this. I'll start maybe around the 5th verse and read a little bit of it. By awesome deeds and righteousness, you, that is God, will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and the tumult of the people, they also dwell in the farthest parts, are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year of your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Now, you start by saying what God created in the world, the earth, the environment, was originally good, and it's good that God sustains it and oversees it. However, something is seriously wrong with the earth. Genesis 3:17-19 talks about the third of three curses, and this one on Adam, or Adam, man. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of that tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. Now that teaches that when the fall took place, it wasn't just human beings who fell. The whole creation fell. The earth fell too. Beauty was not natural. Harvest and productivity of the land was not natural. You simply had to work on it. Let me give you a beautiful poem, and I'll try to read it with all of the profundity with which Henry Van Dyke wrote it. These are the things I prize and hold of deepest worth, light of the sapphire skies, peace of the silent hills, shelter of the forest, comfort of the grass, shadows of the clouds that quickly pass, and after showers the smell of flowers and the deep brown earth, but best of all, along the way, friendship and mirth. Now that sounds good. And it has some partial truth to it. I like those things too, but anybody who knows about nature knows that there's another side of the picture. I remember taking our kids to the New England Aquarium. We tried to give them cultural advantages that we had not received. So this gigantic aquarium in downtown Boston. And we took them, and as we were going through, looking at the little fishes in the world that God created, a big fish ate a little fish. And I can remember the tails sticking out of the mouth of this fish. And our girls were just little girls. I mean, you don't want to expose them to that kind of thing. And so Anna was saying, hey, look over here. Isn't this beautiful? And I'm looking at this tail sticking out of this fish. And the girls turned around and saw it and went, whoa, that's not very nice. Well, Mother Nature is not very nice. It's not beautiful to watch a big fish eat a little fish. I love those pictures of snow. We live in Florida. We don't get snow. Don't have to shovel rain, which is really cool. As we move into the winter months, I will bring this up often on this broadcast. But you look at the pictures of the snow and the smoke coming from the chimney and the Christmas tree and all of the really neat stuff. Well, if you've ever lived in the north, you know that it's not that way. It turns dirty. It's slick. You can get killed on that ice. Mother Nature is not nice. I remember being in Africa one time and watching a mother lion feeding her children meat from an animal the mother lion had just killed. Yeah, there's some pretty things about nature, but don't worship it. It's not all good, and it's fallen, and something's missing. Let me give you some practical implications. Francis Schaeffer, who was a friend of mine, wrote Pollution and the Death of Man, The Christian View of Ecology, and I would recommend that book highly. You can still get it. He tells that he was speaking at a conference center, and across the valley there was a commune of, quote, hippies. They were farmers, and their land was beautiful. Schaeffer went over to see them, and they said, you're the first one to come. Then the bohemian gentleman took out a took him to look back across the valley at the conference center, and he said, now look at that. That's ugly. That's really ugly. And Francis Schaeffer said that he was right. It was ugly. When he looked from the conference center, it was beautiful. When he looked back, it was ugly. That should not be so, because when God works in the heart of man, man's hand works in the heart of the land. When you plant a garden, or you mow the lawn, or you create beauty, or you make flowers, you are cooperating with God, being a steward until he returns. But frankly, it's hard. Mother Earth is not nice. There are bad things that go on. You can step back and you can look at a beautiful scene, but if you start looking close, you begin to see that the flowers are not all beautiful. The rivers are not all clean. The snow is not all nice. The environment is not all together. Why is that? Well, the tree huggers will tell you, because we haven't done our part, and there's some partial truth in that. But the truth is that if we let it revert, it will go back to something that is bent and warped. Now, that's not nice, but it's a fact. Mother Earth is fallen just as you are, and when Jesus comes back, he'll fix both. You think about that. Amen. If you don't have our fall magazine, I sure would like to send it to you free. I wrote a piece, How to Be Christmas to the World, and Pete Alwinson, Pastor Pete, wrote a piece, As the Men of the Church Go, So Goes the Church. This is a question and answer column. A lot of great information on our Poop Pastors Conference that you ought to give to your pastor. A lot of stuff to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. If you'll just let us know, we'll send it to you free. 1-800-KEY-LIFE. You can call 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address. And it really is free. But if you could help us financially, I sure would appreciate it. This is a very expensive ministry, and only a very few are able to be champions to help the many who are helped by this ministry when we send out free material. So be as generous as you can. If you can, pray about it. You can charge on MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. Include it in your envelope, and for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching, Mercy's Freedom. Hey, I gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.